Hi, everyone, and welcome to Eagles 360 on this Tuesday. Dave Spadaro with you. The Eagles in first place all alone after that big win by Kansas City. The comeback win on Monday night over the Washington Redskins. So after four games, the Eagles 3-1. They picked up a full game on all three of their NFC East rivals this weekend. A good weekend for the Eagles. We look ahead to the Arizona Cardinals in this show. But we want to take one look back here at a memorable play. Look, the Eagles' running game has fueled this run, no pun intended, for the Eagles. And LeGarrette Blount, what a game on Sunday against the Chargers. He had that 68-yard run, memorable one, punishing, powerful, speedy. It's the subject of our tape study with offensive coordinator Frank Reich, who joins Ike Reese.
Blount in the game. Motion Zach Ertz. Under center is Wentz. He goes to Blount. He's got a first down. He's got more. He's at the 40. He's at the 45, the 50, the 40, the 30, the 20, the 15, the 10, the 5. He can't be stopped. Finally at the 4. A runaway train. A runaway train.
Joining us for this week's tape study, Eagles offensive coordinator Frank Reich. Welcome to the show, Coach.
Thanks, Reich.
All right, running game was working well against the Chargers. Let's look at the final scoring drive that you guys had set up by big plays, starting with this guy here, LeGarrette Blount. Great job of LeGarrette running the ball all day, running hard. Even better job of this offensive line.
No doubt, for sure. So watch what we had here. We had a little whack play right here. This is inside zone blocking with whack action by the tight end. The purpose of that is this action right here distorts this linebacker, slows it down. We always talk about our offensive line wanting to smash the stacks. Watch Jason Peters and Wiz right here on a double team there. And Kelsey and Brandon Brooks right there getting movement at the point of attack. Now, here was the key that set it off, though. That movement, and watch Zach Ertz here. Takes out Joey Bosa and their linebacker to create the cutback hole for LeGarrette. And then there it is. We've heard about beast mode. This is big cat mode. We got our own version of beast mode. And it's right here, number 29. That's big cat right there. Doing his thing. Stiff arm, speed. Man, he was awesome all day. And that doesn't just get everybody out there, those Eagles. That gets the old line fired up. We're fired up over here in the stands. That's the kind of stuff we need from him.
Yeah, watching the big guy run really wore that defense down. Didn't seem like guys wanted to tackle him late in the game.
Well, would you? I mean, the guy's 250 pounds. I mean, he's a monster. I mean, just look at him go. I mean, this is fun. I mean, fun for our fans, but this is the kind of thing that, you know, this is bonus. You don't expect to get 50-yard runs from a guy 250 pounds, but great run by LeGarrette.
Joined now by Glenn Macnow. Eagles, of course, beating the Los Angeles Chargers. Now that the week has gone by, Glenn, we all get it down.
Finally got it right.
Right.
Yeah.
Good win for the Eagles. Your takeaways.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you three, and I think these haven't been discussed too much, but here you go. And number one, Dave, it's kind of steps along the path to becoming a winning franchise. And here's what I mean by that. It got hairy at the end of this game as it got hairy in the end of the Giants game a week ago. And it looked like, geez, this might slip away. Everybody knew what had to be done when the Chargers scored with 3:44 left. The Eagles had to freeze the ball, hold the ball. Dave, they did it. They ran the ball right down the Chargers' throats. They put together a 13-play drive, 8 runs, 3 passes, the 2 kneel downs at the end. They ate up the rest of the clock. This is a game I think they would have lost a year ago. Right?
They did lose this game a year ago in Detroit.
Yeah.
Ryan Matthews coughed up the football.
Yeah,
the Lions
correct.
Recover and went down and kicked the game-winning field goal. So, yeah, what a difference a year makes.
Right. 1-6 last
Literally
year.
Literally that game.
You know what? You're correct.
Yeah.
1-6 last year in games decided by 7 points or less. This year already 1-2.
Yeah.
I think that's a big step along the path.
I wonder what the next step is, Glenn.
The next step, you asked me now off the top of my head, what is the next step? The next step is to not let them get back into that game.
Yes.
The next step is that your defense freezes them out.
Yes.
And that kind of gets to my next point.
Okay.
That was brilliant, Dave.
Yeah.
Which is, I don't know what you've been told before, Dave. Time of possession does matter.
I don't buy that. You may have heard otherwise.
Yeah,
I'm not as down with that as you are. I think that's an overrated statistic.
You're still holding on to that.
Yeah, because I believe, but it doesn't take away from your takeaways. I believe that a more key statistic is inside the 20-yard line, the turnover battle. I think time of possession is down the line. Now, that said, controlling the football as the Eagles did at the end of that game, mighty impressive.
And yes, and here's why I'll add to it. And some of those stats, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Turnovers will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to get to that in takeaway three.
Gosh.
Yeah, you anticipate today, Dave. But here's why it's important, because They held the ball for 39-18 on Sunday, and their defense needed it. They've got so many guys injured on the defense. You are missing Fletcher Cox. You are missing Ronald Darby. Various times this year, you've been missing Hicks and your safety and so on. Right, and a lot of guys you need on defense. So it's clear over the last two games, the defense will give you what it's got, and then maybe because of lack of depth, it's getting gassed. So if your offense can hold on to that ball and keep it away from your defense as it did, I think that's key.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. But I will counter, if I may.
Sure.
I felt the whole game that the Eagles should have put the Chargers away. And that controlling the football for 39 minutes and 18 seconds, if it mattered that much, that you would blow them out. That wasn't the case because the Chargers kept coming back with the big chunk plays.
This is you getting back into you and I run versus pass. I hear you working that in.
Absolutely right.
Because they ran the ball.
The Chargers stayed close because they got the big plays.
Chunk, that's your word.
Chunk.
Okay.
And then when the Eagles, the next step for the Eagles offense is to consistently in the pass game get the chunk plays.
All right. So here you go. Number three, let's talk about the pass game. Let's talk about Carson Wentz. It is a pleasure to watch him develop as he's developing now. He threw the better long ball this week. He hit Aguilar. That was a great pass. He threw a nice one that Torrey Smith dropped. He hit Ertz down the field. Those were good. He escaped some sacks by dumping the ball or running with it when he needed to. And he ran the offense, I thought, really nicely. You saw him check down when he had to into better plays. But here's the thing. He didn't throw an interception. Again, Carson Wentz in four games this year has attempted 147 passes. He's been intercepted twice. That is a rate of 1.36%. And you know that at the start of this year, his quarterback coach, John DeFilippo, said, I want him under 2% interception rate.
Yeah.
He's there.
Glenn, I'm with you on that. I always thought that Donovan McNabb's strength was not turning the football over. And Carson, at times, when he went off the rails last year, early in games, intercept. But I am right there with you. There is such a sense, you feel it, of confidence about Carson Wentz.
Oh, week to week, I think you feel better about it. Absolutely, because you see the growth in different parts of the game week to week, and that is a pleasure.
Three great takeaways. Glenn Macnow, the dumbest of dumb. But that's a story, a long one for another day. Those are the takeaways from Glenn Macnow. After that win on Sunday in Los Angeles, more to get to here on Eagles 360. We've got Corey Simon as our Alumni of the Week, our Santander Great Alumni of the Week. But when we return, Doug Peterson in for his weekly one-on-one interview presented by Wawa. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by McDonald's. McDonald's introduces the new signature crafted sriracha sandwich made with a new sriracha mac sauce and a kick of spice.
Finding the end zone is his specialty. In fact, he's found it over 17 times already today. He is a professional football watcher because he has NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. He catches every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity. Switch to an X1 Triple Play and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone. Call or go online today.
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood. And fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
We welcome you in, everyone. Dave Spadaro, Eagles Insider, along with the head coach of the Philadelphia Eagles, Doug Peterson. An interview presented by Wawa, our exclusive interview weekly with the head coach, who I would imagine feeling pretty good about your football team right now.
I am. You know, I'm excited that, you know, number one, 3-1, first place in the East. But, you know, still only 25% of the season is completed, and, you know, we got a long road ahead. But guys have really battled through some adversity these first four games, not only playing on the road, but playing through injury. And it's great to see these guys learning how to finish and win these games.
Would you attribute that, Doug, to growing up from last year or lessons learned from last year?
Totally. I think it is lessons learned, maturity, obviously. We've had a lot of young players and still have a lot of young players that are playing in significant roles and getting a lot of play time. And they're learning to play together as a unit. You really saw that again this past weekend, how the offense was able to pick up the defense and then defensively vice versa with creating some takeaways. And then special teams. I mean, Jake is kicking out of his mind right now. When you think about the extra points at the 33-yard line plus all the 40-plus field goals that he's kicking, he's doing an outstanding job for us. So these guys are really learning how to finish and play well down the stretch.
Jake is an example to me, and I don't know anything, I get it, but the power of believing in yourself and of confidence. Here's a kid who was drafted, great confident, you know, great talent. Now all of a sudden he makes the big kick, and he's in such a groove right now. And his range is outrageous. Do you buy into that whole mental part of it, that once you believe you can achieve, you then go do it?
Completely. And that's where you got to get to as an athlete, I think. And you just got to have confidence. And he has confidence in himself, number one. He's got a lot of talent, a lot of leg talent. And then just watching him work in practice and what he's doing in practice is just giving me more confidence to put him out there and trust the fact that, you know, Rick's going to put a money snap back there. Donnie's going to put it down, and the ball's going to go through. And, you know, it's just something that, you know, these guys work on every single week. But for him, it's about the confidence, and he's in a good spot right now.
I mean, really, and I'm going to keep on special teams here for a moment because you haven't talked about it much this week. With a new long snapper from last year, with a new place kicker from last year, with a new kick returner, punt returner from last year, this special teams group continues to win the battle every week. Is this Dave Phipp? Is this developing the bottom half of the roster? What is it?
It's a little of both. You know, Dave does an outstanding job of getting those guys ready and prepared for each and every week. And then it's the way they practice and prepare themselves. And then, you know, listen, you know, special teams is a little bit, and really it is all of a mindset, you know, and you have to go into the game, you know, knowing that you're going to play special teams, plus you're going to, you know, carry over and play offense or defense. And these guys do an outstanding job. And, you know, it's just something that we continue to work. Special teams is the third part of our success. And for me, you know, as a head coach, I want to make sure that these guys understand that special teams can not only win you a game, but can obviously put you in a situation to lose one as well. And they're doing a great job.
The success you've had running the football offensively, Doug, has it had an impact on you and influence on you and the way you will call plays the rest of the way here?
Not really. I just think it's week to week. There's going to probably be a game this year where we're behind and we're going to have to throw it again and to catch up. But there's times like the other day that, you know, the running game was clicking and all three guys were rolling. You just keep feeding on that. And, you know, really you can tell by the offensive line and the way they're coming off the ball, the way they're attacking. You love the fact that those guys want that. It's exciting, and it just so happened to be that way the other day.
A guy nobody's talking about, is Brandon Brooks playing really good football?
He's playing extremely well. He's playing extremely well, and it's just a quiet Brandon Brooks. And that's kind of his personality and his demeanor. But overall, he's had a really good start to this season. He's very powerful, explosive off the ball, and confident in his ability as well.
Doug, LeGarrette Blount, have you coached a guy who has that much bulk and then who's also capable of ripping off a run like he had the other day?
You know, I don't think I've ever been around a back, you know, quite as big and explosive as he can be. He demonstrated that, obviously, in the game the other day, and especially late in the game when you've kind of worn down the defense a little bit and they're trying to make arm tackles and you send him through the middle and he just breaks so many tackles and then the great run to eventually get the touchdown. And, you know, he's one that's, you know, probably a little bit of a slow start, but he's picked it up these last couple of games, and it's the type of back, and he is the guy that I saw on film when we were looking at signing him back in the spring.
Doug, you gave the players off on Monday and Tuesday. They come back to work tomorrow. Why?
You know, we had a long trip. It was an emotional. These last couple of weeks have been a lot of energy, a lot of emotion, and you know, we're getting into a stretch of games where you know, a little extra rest is not going to hurt the players. It's actually going to be beneficial, and they've learned to handle their business. Got some great leaders on this football team, and really feel like giving them, because we got back late, you know, the other day, early in the morning, and to give them a full 48 hours before we get back together, I think is key to make this push these next couple of weeks.
Do they express appreciation in a way to you?
They do. They do. I made the announcement on the plane coming back, and I could kind of hear them in the back of the plane hooping and hollering. So it makes you feel good as a coach because, you know, listen, I listen to those players, and I've been there, and any time that, you know, you can do something and give something back to them, they really appreciate it, and they'll come to work Wednesday ready to go.
Arizona Cardinals come to town fresh off an overtime win over San Francisco, dangerous in the passing game, a team that is going to be right there in the playoff chase.
I think so. I think so, and if you look really, you know, their defense as well, the last couple of seasons they've had a top five defense, and I think they had 48 sacks a year or so ago, so this team can really get after the passer, and offensively they do have weapons. I know they're struggling a little bit up front, but you know what, it doesn't really matter in these types of games. They're going to compete and they'll be ready to go, and it's going to be a, you know, we're just so blessed now to be back off the road.
Yeah,
you know, we got four of our next five I think at home, and so we're just excited to get this one at the link.
And people really don't understand how taxing that can be. I mean, the travel, it's nice travel, but it still is going back and packing and taking a lot of time out of your day.
Yeah, it is, and it takes a toll out of you on the weekends because it's, you know, these aren't vacations. You know, these are business trips, and these guys are putting every effort into these games. So are the coaches, and I appreciate that. So now coming back and playing at home in front of our crowd again, it's going to be exciting.
Doug Peterson, thanks so much.
Thank you, Dave.
Doug Peterson in studio, presented by Wawa. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Rothman at Jefferson. Eagles High School Football Showdown, presented by the Rothman Institute at Jefferson, celebrates local high school football teams and coaches. Visit PhiladelphiaEagles.com/showdown to vote for this week's Game of the Week.
There are bumps along the road of life, and for each one, there's AAA.
Stop. Community College of Philadelphia has given me a blueprint to pursue my career aspirations.
They have many locations, and it's very close to home.
There's a real community here at the college. You're able to meet many people who are figuring it out.
Very small classes, so you can get one-on-one attention with your professor.
It allowed me to be a role model for my community.
I feel Community College of Philadelphia is helping me start my career.
I feel like I'm ready for whatever my career path takes me.
And that's why I go.
Finding the end zone is his specialty. In fact, he's found it over 17 times already today. He is a professional football watcher because he has NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. He catches every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity. Switch to an X1 triple play and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone. Call or go online today.
This is Rob, a real patient. He embodies the grace, finesse, and skill competitive soccer demands. But not long ago, arthritis pain sidelined Rob until he came to Jefferson Health. Two knees and a hip replacement later, Rob is off the bench and coaching the next generation of soccer stars. That's freedom restored.
There are bumps along the road of life, and for each one, there's AAA.
It's just three kids, right? We welcome you back to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Glenn Macnell. Time now for our Santander Legend of the Week. First-round draft pick in 2000, a key member of the Philadelphia Eagles. Glenn, right off the bat, an immediate starter. You don't find that very often. We welcome in Corey Simon, who will be the Alumni of the Week here for the Eagles against the Cardinals. Corey, welcome to the show. Welcome back to Philadelphia. How are you, first of all?
Doing well. Glad to be back in town and enjoying myself in Philly. It should be a fun weekend.
It's a football team, by the way, on the rise. Very similar to when you were in your early years with the Eagles. The team is really building together. Corey, I'd like to go back to your draft experience because I think it's such a special one. What was it like to be a first-round draft pick? What was the whole experience like for you?
You know what, it was pretty uneventful, to say the least. I mean, you know, kind of waking up that morning of the draft, I didn't go to the draft. I actually stayed at home with my mom and friends and family. And, you know, I had two visits during the entire process. I went to Baltimore, and then I came to Philly. Sat down with Rex at the time, was a defensive line coach in Baltimore, and he said, "Corey, I really want you." When I came to Philly, Andy said, "Corey, if you're on the board at six, I'm not having this conversation with anybody else but you." So, you know, I woke up that morning, I saw Sam Adams, went to Baltimore. So at that point, I kind of knew I was going to Philadelphia. It was just a matter of time before that sixth pick came up, and Andy gave me a call, and everybody started shouting, and it was fun times for everybody.
Corey, you still hold the franchise record for sacks by a rookie, 9.5. You did it as a defensive tackle, which is tougher than an edge rusher. Other than your great talent and skills, what do you attribute to in terms of teammates helping you, coaches helping you? How did you reach that point as a rookie?
Oh, man. Heck, you saw that defensive backfield that we had. I mean, with Al Harris and Bobby Taylor and Troy Vincent and Brian Dawkins. I mean, those guys made things a lot easier. And not to mention the guys that were on the line with me, Hollis Thomas eating up a lot of the double teams, and Hugh Douglas having career years when I was there. You know, it made things a lot easier. You couldn't focus on just one guy. I mean, I think when you look at the way Philadelphia's defense is built now, you kind of see the correlation with that. The way that defensive line plays is kind of how we played it. And Jim was the ultimate defensive coordinator, understood the game immensely, just extremely talented coaching staff around. I think it was just a team effort. It made the transition for me that much easier coming in with such a veteran-laden defense and a coaching staff that really had an understanding of who we were and putting us in a position to go out there and succeed.
Corey, you went to FSU, Florida State. I think you won the national championship and chased Michael Vick around in that game in that year. What was it like going from that hotbed in Tallahassee to this very unique football culture in Philadelphia?
Well, it was a big difference because Tallahassee, you know, I still live here today. Tallahassee is a small town. It's a college town. And so although football is the lifeblood of this city, there's nothing like being in a blue-collar town like Philadelphia where the fans eat, sleep, and breathe football. It is everything that they look forward to when football is not going on. And so going into that type of atmosphere, it's fun because you want to be in a place that loves what you do and appreciate what you do and what you bring to the table. And that just, you know, it just really couldn't – it's hard to kind of put into words what it was like playing in Philadelphia, being in the city, being around the city. There's nothing like it. I tell folks all the time that, you know, they have a very very polarizing blue view of what Philadelphia football is like. And I tell them, listen, when you're in it and when you're having the success that we had and you went out there and you worked your butt off every single day, there's not a fan base that's more appreciative of what you've accomplished. And so it's always going to be a special place to me. It was a special place to be coming out of college and feel so appreciated by a fan base.
Corey, I saw you're involved in what sounds like a very admirable program down there called Real Men with some former players. Can you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it's Florida State athletes, not just football players. It's bringing all the athletes, college athletes and male athletes, and just really breaking down the ins and outs of not just college sports, but life in general, taking advantage of the opportunities that they have being at Florida State University, going out and networking and talking to people and being a part of the community. It's very easy to be really selfish when you come in as a college student. And so trying to get these young men to kind of step out of their own comfort zone and be a part of the community and give back to that community and watch how that community embraces them and gives back to them when it's all said and done. And so I really enjoy, you know, sitting down with those guys and trying to give some of the life lessons that I've learned. I've learned a lot over the last 20 years of being not only in the NFL, but out of the NFL and kind of going through the process. And so just trying to give them a little bit of insight on, you know, what the future can look like, but don't make the same mistakes that I made and others made and take advantage of someone else's success and hardships.
Corey, as the honorary alumni captain this week, you will be introduced to the crowd. You'll hear the cheers of 68,000 fans again. Do you miss the sounds of the cheering crowds in Philadelphia? Do you think about that at all? Do you anticipate what it's going to be like at all for Sunday?
I hadn't really thought about it, quite honestly. I think for me, the biggest thrill of this entire weekend is going to be my son. You know, he's now 14 now, and he'll get a chance to be a part of that and see what that looks like. When I had my son the morning that we were going to play against the Atlanta Falcons in the playoffs, and so he didn't get a chance to really experience my time in Philadelphia. He was much too young for that. And so, really, that's the part of it for me that's exciting. To you know, it's homecoming week for him here in school, and instead of going to homecoming, he wants to come to Philadelphia with me and be a part of that experience. And so that's what I'm most looking forward to. As far as missing the crowd, I miss the fan. I do. It's this being in this city. Tallahassee, like I said, is a small town. It's not like being in a big city. And so that part I'm definitely looking forward to. But more importantly than all of that is my son kind of gets the experience that I had walking out into back then the Vet, and then later on towards my ending time in Philadelphia at the Link. So he gets to have that experience, and I'm looking forward to seeing his face.
Can't wait to see you, Corey. Thanks so much for joining us here, and let's all have a great day on Sunday as the Eagles beat the Cardinals. Thanks so much, Corey Simon.
Gonna be fun. Thanks, Dave.
All right, Corey Simon, our Santander Legend of the Week. It is rare for somebody to come right in, Glenn, and start and have that kind of an impact.
And we
thought Derek Barnett would come in and sack, and while he's playing well, the numbers are just difficult to come by.
They are difficult to come by. I think sacks generally are more difficult to come by because more quarterbacks know to get rid of the ball, but Corey Simon is a rookie. He was very productive on a very good team, very good defense.
Yeah. Okay, what's ahead for you on Amoroso's On the Menu segment? Here we go. How about a progress report on the most prolific Eagles receiver of the last season? Who is it?
That would be Zach Ertz.
That's right, Zach Ertz, who's been just electric, dynamic, fantastic. Mike Quick, our first look at the Arizona Cardinals. And we also have Tim Jernigan all mic'd up from that game in Los Angeles. Oh, he's a fun guy.
He
likes to chit-chat a little bit.
Absolutely.
On and off the field. That's our Amoroso's. What's ahead for you? That's Amoroso's On the Menu segment. And the Eagles getting ready for the Arizona Cardinals here, Glenn. What are your thoughts on this game? And is this a trap game? Is this a letdown game? Come back home and the fans are juiced?
Yeah, that's why I think not. Because you've spent three of your first four games on the road. Well, maybe last week they weren't exactly on the road. You were there. That was
home. I think the Daily News had a great headline. Home, sweet, away.
Oh, that's great.
It really was.
That
it really
great.
Had that feel.
But I think coming home with this crowd, you never can predict a letdown, but I'd like to think not. Arizona's banged up. Too bad for them. Good for you. I think it looks to me like Eagles should win.
Yeah, good defense in Arizona, though. Good defense, veteran quarterback, and a wide receiver in Larry Fitzgerald, who
still,
the Eagles
all,
have
all
not stopped
years.
In games. He has been outstanding against them. Mike Quick and I will break that down tomorrow. Thanks so much for joining us here on Eagles 360 for Glenn Macnow. I'm Dave Spadaro saying, have yourselves a great Eagles day.